KK255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress. Persecuted,
but not. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, what a joy. What an honor. And what a privilege it is to be able to come together collectively with all of you who are under the sound of my voice. And even though we are coming collectively as listeners to this means of the invitation, but we also come in individually too. Because each one of us are in our individual homes, automobiles, you know, our radios, listening to our radios, you know. So this individual, you know. Hey, each one of us in our own little spot on the earth, you know. Individually, going before and into the literal presence of the Most High God. That's what my prayer is all the time. And in this broadcast, you know, that God make your presence known. Because that's what it's all about, you know. That's what the whole Bible is all about. What God dwelling in the presence of his children through boy a divine connection that's called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What's God's greatest desire? To dwell in the presence of his people. Hallelujah. Through a divine connection. The Bible called it the Holy Spirit. That's the ability. That's all that God. That's all that God is. He's a person. And that person dwelling on the inside of a child of God is a divine connection. Right. Into a personal relationship with our Father in heaven and with a personal relationship with the kingdom of heaven. A divine connection to the Father in heaven and a divine connection to the kingdom of heaven. That's what the whole Bible is all about. Everything in it is means to that end. Amen. Let me tell you something, boy. You hear that scripture all the time. He who hath begun a good work on the inside of us, or he that hath begun a good work, hey, he gonna complete it. This is he who hath done good work on the inside of us. He gonna complete it. And then that good work that he designed on the inside of us is that man to dwell in his presence forever and ever and ever in a place called heaven. Listen, let me take it a step further. Not to heaven where our Father is. Our Father which art where in heaven. So what do you want to do? He want to extend, boy, his governing. He want to extend his rulership of his territory, his laws of his territory, his culture of his territory, his lifestyle of his territory. He want to extend that to a foreign territory. And boy, he kind of lost something. And boy, he decided that, he wanted that, he spoke that, and the very fact that what he decided and what he spoke, and it's a done deal. Listen, this ain't been Jeremiah, Isaiah, none of the prophets, Moses, Abraham, David. Thank God for them. But I'm talking about, boy, I'm talking about that which was from the beginning. What he decided and what he wanted and what he spoke. Boy, the very fact that it came out of his mouth, it's an already done deal. Listen, this is the word of the Most High God. This is the word of the Lord. Thank God for the word of the prophets. Thank God for the word of all of us men as ministers of the word of God. But boy, that's a more sure word. That's when God, boy, speak to you himself. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants more than anything. Thank God he can speak to us through a corporate relationship and through us assembling ourselves together corporately, you know. And that's a good thing. But boy, a greater thing is, boy, when he can give with you one-on-one. Hallelujah. And that you can dwell in that place, even when you leave the corporate experience, but you can still, boy, individually dwell in that place, but in the presence of the Lord. Boy, in that place there, everything is all right. I'm going to say that again. In that place, in the presence of the Lord, boy, everything all right. It don't matter what you might be going through. You will know something. I'm talking about know that you 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 know. But I know where you'll know that everything is all right in that place. It won't matter what you're going through. Well, you're standing the test of time. In that place, boy, it's durable. It's everlasting. That's forever. David called it the secret place of the Most High God. Noah called it, boy, the ark that God told him to build, the ark of safety. Abraham called it the promised land. Adam called it the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ came and gave it his original name. He called it the Kingdom of Heaven. The presence of the Lord. And not only the presence of the Lord, but boy, us tabernacle. The word tabernacle means to cohabitate with, to live with. And not only to live with, but even to a closer degree, to live in. I show you a mystery Paul wrote in Colossians that's been hidden from ages and ages. But now, in your generation, in my generation, it's being made known by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's that mystery? For Christ in you. And you in Christ. Well, that's the hope of glory. Let me see it in a different way. The Bible says this in a different way. Us in him, him in us, we one, he and his Father is one, and we and he and the Father, we all one. In other words, boy, the same. Same in character, same in nature, same in likeness, same in authority and power over our territory, same. just right here. And in that place, boy, it's like looking into a mirror. And, boy, as you continue to look into that mirror, you know what's taking place, boy? You're working. What do you mean working? You becoming. You becoming, man, what you see in that mirror, boy. That's an image of the Most High God. Character and nature of the Most High God. Functioning abilities like the Most High God. Talking, walking, acting, living, being like the Most High God. Boy, that's what happened in that place. That's the work that's being done in that place. And it's a completed work. You know, that's why I always say, hey, we just becoming who we already are. The very fact that the Most High God has spoken out of his mouth, man, listen, it don't matter if it take a trillion years for it to come, for it to manifest itself in its fullness. It's still a done deal, boy. He done said. Hallelujah. So what do you say? He say, hey, come boldly. That's whosoever. Whosoever that includes, that includes anybody, everybody. That whosoever. You can come boldly to the throne of God's grace, man, and obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. You can come boldly all the way into his throne. Not just in his presence, man, but I'll come all the way up to where you're sitting at. Come all the way up to where you can shake hands with him and talk with him, man. Come all the way up, man, that close. And just fellowship with him. Boy, that's God's goal for your life. You want to cohabitate with his children. And listen, that's what your Bible is all about. You know, the Bible is very important that oh, Lord, let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again, you know, for the precious opportunity, Lord, to come and say that to sit in your presence. Sit at your table and feast from your table. So I'd ask you, my Father, to anoint all of our ears to hear what you want to say to us in this day, that it might edify us and build us up and strengthen us and continue us on our course to becoming everything that you say we are. From having everything that you say we have, and from doing everything that you say we can do, Father. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hand and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that you would do just that. Edify us. And you gave us gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Until, Lord, we all come to the realization that we all have a ministry. It don't matter whether you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, bishop, pope, whatever. Everybody has a role to play in what you're doing. So speak, Lord. And help us to not only hear, but receive and obey everything that you were speaking to our hearts. And Father, we'll make sure that we give you all of the credit and all of the praise. Because this is your kingdom. And we are the sheep of your pasture. And we are your children. So it's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. It all belongs to you. You're Lord. You're the owner. Therefore, you're responsible for everything. And we yield ourselves under the lordship of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be it unto us according to your word. And we ask this, Lord, using the power of attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. And so shall it be. Again, hey, listen, boy, it's an honor and a privilege to come. Like I said, not just collectively, all of us listening, you know, together, but all of us listening together individually. That's an indication, boy, you know, of again, you know, I want to really emphasize that that God wants you to not only come into his presence, but to live there and to live your life from there. And you think you can live a great life, man, you know, and you can. You can live a good, prosperous life here on earth and everything else outside of the presence of God. And that can be a good thing. But boy, let me tell you something that's a great thing in there. Because you can live that same way and prosper that same way in the presence of the Most High God. Conscious of that. Knowing that. Growing in the knowledge of that. That everything that this Bible is about, everything that church is supposed to be about, boy, is a means to that end. I reiterate that, boy. Everything is a means to that end. The Bible is like a, you know, and it's very important that we as believers, man, you know, understand the message of the Bible. Some people don't know how to read. Some people can't read. Some people you read, they don't understand. So that's why God said, I give you gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. And this is an important one, teachers. But they hold the greatest responsibility because they're the shepherd and bishop of the souls of God's people. They're responsible for the renewing of our mind, the restoration of our soul, for us going on to receive the end of our salvation, which is the salvation of our soul. Listen, if you believe in Jesus Christ, man, you know, whether you realize it or understand it or not, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in him and call upon the name of the Lord and ask God, boy, you know, to provide salvation for you, that's, man, listen, you can't say no. He said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you ask God to save you, you can't say no. He'll be violating that word. He don't violate his word. If you say you call upon him and he'll answer you, hey man, you can't violate that. He got to answer you. Whether you receive it or not, boy, that's a different thing. Boy, he answer you. And boy, when you're in his presence and know that, and you know that he answer you, then you know that you have the petition that you desire of him. So listen, you can gain the whole world, man, and be rich and famous and everything else, and then die, man, and go to hell. And I ain't talking about, man, living in hell like what you know it for your 5 cents read. I'm talking about, boy, eternally separated from the presence of the Most High God without any hope of ever being reconciled or coming back into. That's hell. See, right now, there's people being separated from God, but they're not eternally separated from God. See, boy, there's hope for everybody. I don't care what the deal is, boy. I don't know where you are in life, boy. You can come into that place because of the way it's been provided. Jesus is the way. And that way has been provided already. He's the truth. He's the truth about what God is doing. And he's a light. The same light that you saw him live, that's the light that God, he was coming to show you and I how God intended for us to live. Jesus, the Son of God, he come to show, boy, lost sons, man, who had been redeemed, how we're supposed to live. He said, as I am, so are you. The work that I do or the life that I live, so can you. Like the Father sent me, so send I you. And let me tell you something, boy, he ruled and he reigned over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronted his life. Even over mankind's greatest enemy, death. They crucified him, man, and he rose from the dead. That's all to show you. Same thing, you don't know, you might not know, but the same thing gonna happen to you that happened to him. When you die, the same spirit that raised him from the dead, that divine connection I'm talking about there, hey, he's gonna raise you from the dead too. Set you at the right hand of the Most High God too. But in the meantime, he wants you to come to the knowledge of that. And know that. So everything that you do in life, even in your world of prosperity, man, everything that you do in life, it's from that place, from the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling my boy, let me tell you something. And that place right there, the streets are paved with gold. I'm talking about riches and durable riches. Where wrath and moth and corruption and none of that came. It can't hinder it. It can't take it. It can't steal it. What good it is to gain the whole world and then die and go to hell, like I said. When you can gain the whole world and live forever in the presence of the Most High God. You do the math. You know, if you're smart, you know, and most of you, know, especially those who are prospering in life. If you're smart, you do the math. Why gain the whole world and then die and go to hell, man, be eternally, man, or live that way, man, outside of the presence of the Lord? When you can live that way in the presence of the Lord. How much more prosperous and glorious your prosperity and our prosperity would be, man, from that place. And guess what? That's an everlasting prosperity. And that's the prosperity going in. You know a story in the Bible where God told a man, the man said, hey, listen, man, he looked at his prosperity and everything else. He said, man, all my bond is fear, man. And, man, I ain't got no way else to put my money in. Man, I'm talking about I'm a self-made man, millionaire, and I'm successful in life and everything else. He said, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build some bigger bonds, man, so I can get more and more and more and more. Because, man, I'm prospering. And then the Bible said that night, boy, came in your recession. This night. Your soul going to be required of you. In other words, say, you're going to die tonight. So what good would it be for to gain the whole world and then die, man? Outside of the presence of the Most High God. Outside of that place. Outside of the place that God, boy, designed for you to dwell in. And to grow in. And to prosper. In and from. That's eternal prosperity. And it consists of far more than just gold and silver. That's included in it. Boy, it's eternal life that's in it. It's peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like I told you, in that place, man, you know that everything is all right. Even though you face adversities and negative circumstances and situations and symptoms and turmoil and persecution and affliction, man, let me tell you something. You be like David did, man. Even though it be like giants in your life, it seem to be bigger than you, you have that same attitude that David had. Who is this uncircumcised, circumstance, situation, a sinful man, defiling man, the word of my Father in heaven? Instead of David doing like man, the rest of the army was doing, hiding in the foxhole, because the giant seemed way bigger than me, David went running toward the giant. He ain't have no armor on, no spear, no sword, or nothing. He just had, man, fine little smooth stone. And boy, one of them shooters. A slingshot. Okay, I get that way. A slingshot. Pray, bear. Get the Philistine inside the head, cut his head off. You have that attitude toward anything, boy, because you know that great is he that's in you, and he that's with you, and he that's for you, then, boy, he that's in the world. I'm talking about you know that. See, outside of that place, you just know of that. When you're outside of it, when you're not in that place, you know about that. But in that place, you know that. You know that you know that you know that you know it. You know. That's why I say give you peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Where that joy come from? In his presence, the Bible says there is fullness of joy. Listen, think for a minute, boy. In the presence of the Most High God, there you go, man, God with you. Everything that you do, man, God is with you and God is for you. And God is there, boy, to help you make, man, all the right choices and decisions that lead to your God-given destiny. He said this, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health. He wants us to prosper, boy. That don't give him no glory if we don't prosper in life. And I'm saying, prosperity, man, consists of far more than gold and silver. That's including any man. You supply all our needs, boy. I'm talking about we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Our rich is heaven. And we are heirs of death. Well, baby, you got everything you need in that place. And it's given to us, boy, from that place. It's only from that place that is dedicated, consecrated, and committed, and given to us. And again, everything that God is doing, boy, is a means to one end, man, to get us back, to let us know, boy, that place, man, has come back to us. Hey, listen, God don't have no problem getting man heaven back to us. Well, it seems like, man, you know, it's a little bit more complicated, more with him getting us back to heaven. I said again, baby, listen. He don't have no problem, man, getting heaven to us. In fact, he ain't already done that. Jesus Christ came, and his message was all of the kingdom of heaven, boy. All of the lifestyle of heaven, the culture of heaven, everything, all that, man. All that, I'm going to bring that back to you. You had that at one time, and you was in that at one time in Adam. And in the Garden of Eden. That was heaven on earth. And that's what God placed Adam and Eve at. And when he was talking to Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve is a representation of the whole human race. Because we always in Adam. So we always in the garden with Adam. Even though it was just one Adam individually, yet it was just, like I said, on this radio broadcast, collective Adam. All of us was in Adam. All mankind was in Adam. So when God was talking to Adam in the garden, and when God put Adam in that secret place of the Most High God, in the presence of the Most High God, in the Garden of Eden, in the atmosphere and environment of heaven that he planted on the earth, well, he put him in that place, man. So he started that. He started that. He started Adam and Eve, man, and the kingdom of heaven. On earth. He started there. And when he started there, man, let me tell you something, boy, he who have begun that good work, he gonna complete it. And then he gave Adam and Eve them assignment. Make the whole, be fruitful and make the whole earth just like this little garden so that the whole earth could be filled with the presence of the Most High God. So that when you have children and your children, man, the presence of the Lord is with them, when they go to their spot on the earth, say, boy, the presence of the Lord is gonna be there. And all of them, every child that's born from this place, that's born in this place right here, when they leave this place right here and go to their own house and their own family and everything else, then this place right here, boy, that they come from, gonna be in the place where they go. And they're gonna be on earth just like it is in hell. That's what he meant when he say be fruitful and multiply and replenish the whole earth. Noah started that. He the one started that. And on his way, man, to completing that, man, you know, everybody you face some opposition. And then they come try to come in and try to disrupt God's plan. And for a season, man, hey, you know, he did. But again, this is the word of the Most High God we're talking about. This is what the king said. Before anything else, before anybody else said anything, this is what God said himself. And that's what God started himself. It came the devil or nothing, nobody, what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. That can't stop what God said and set out to have into accomplish. I said something earlier, you know, that God don't have no problem getting heaven to earth. He's already done that. But it's a little more complicated, man, for him to get me for us. In the heaven. You know why it's complicated? Because, boy, you know, we think heaven is in the sweet by and by. And all the time, heaven is in the right here and now. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand means it's within your reach. That's how close it is. It's within hand's reach. If something is at hand, that means it's within hand's reach. So that's how close, man, the kingdom of heaven is to you right now. And listen, it can get even closer than that, boy. If you receive the message that Jesus Christ come preaching to the people, it'll get even closer than that, boy. It won't only be at hand that close. It'll be even closer than that, boy. It'll get down on the inside of you. It'll get down into your spirit, man, and into your soul. Your soul will be changed into that mindset. That's what repent means, to change your way of thinking, to change your whole perspective, you know, because you've been trained and conditioned and brought up to live according to this world system that you've been born in and trained in. Boy, there's another world system that then came. The kingdom of heaven then came back to the earth. The Garden of Eden then came back to the earth. And the law that governs that place has came back to the earth. That's what Jesus was teaching. The lifestyle that that place. How to live in that place. The laws that governs that place. How to function in that place, the functioning principles of that place, the laws of God concerning that place and in that place. Then he died up on the cross for you to clean you up, boy, so that you can come back into the place. That's what the Calvary is all about. That's what cleans you up, the blood that cleans you up. Because what separates you from that place was your sins. What cleansed your sins up was the blood of Jesus Christ. What purpose? So that you could come back to that place. You clean now. You washed in the blood of the Lamb. But you ain't just washed in the blood of the Lamb to go to heaven. You washed in the blood of the Lamb to come back into that place that Jesus Christ brought to this earth. But the Bible says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's an everlasting kingdom. He came to bring that kingdom, man, that Adam lost. For all of us, and cause us to be born into this old kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world system, the kingdom of that Satan set up on the earth. Jesus Christ come to bring more the kingdom that God set up on the earth, the first kingdom. He come to bring that back to the earth. And then, man, to cleanse us up, man, so that we can come back into that place here on earth. So we can come back into the Garden of Eden here on earth. That's why I say, man, God had a problem getting the Garden of Eden back to the earth. He was a little bit more complicated for him to get us back into the Garden of Eden. So we think it's in the sweet by and by. That's what religion, that's what make religion an enemy of the kingdom and of that's on earth. Why? Because religion prepare man believers to go to hell. That's what religion does. It's all in hope that, man, y'all are different religion. Don't matter which one it is. It's all men about hope that in life after death, boy, there's a place for you. That you go to a utopia. And boy, God, so we prepare you to go there. And you just, man, go through your rituals and your ceremonies and your services and your customs and your rites, your passageways, man, you know, and hope that when it's all said and done, Lord, you make it to that place. But all the time, man, that Jesus Christ come to bring that place back to us. It's already here. Like I say, it might be a little bit complicated for God to get up back into the place. That's how devastating religion is. And religion don't consist of no evil things, even in that sense that it keeps you, man, from getting into the place that he on earth. Why? Because it prepares you to go to a place where God is in the sweet by and by. And that's not God's destination for your life. That's not God's destination for your life. He didn't create you, man, and bring you to the earth so that you can come back to heaven. But you can sin and come short and then start trying to live your life the best you can and do the best you can. And then when you die, I hope you make it to hell. Man, that ain't what this Bible is all about. That's what religion is all about. But that ain't what man Jesus Christ come preaching and teaching. He come preaching and teaching all of the kingdom of hell. All that heaven consists of. That's your inheritance. It belonged to you. It was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And the Father is pleased. It gives the Father great pleasure to give you back your inheritance that you lost in Adam. In Adam's disobedience. In Adam's sin. They caused all of us to be born in sin and Satan and iniquity. But God so loved the world. The original world that he set up on earth. The kingdom that he set up on earth where he placed Adam and Eve and man in the Garden of Eden. He so loved that world, that arrangement, that pattern of operation, that system of doing things. When he was walking and talking, boy, with his son in the cool of the day, boy, I'm talking about man one-on-one. Yeah, Adam in his presence, he and Adam present. Fellowship, man, unbroken fellowship. Boy, I'm talking about heaven on earth. And God dwelling with his sons, man, his family, boy, that's in Adam, all mankind, through Adam. Boy, God loved that world so much that he sent, boy, in fact, he came down himself in the person of a man, and, boy, set his kingdom back up on the earth. I tell you, this is what God done. See, the kingdom of God is what God is doing for mankind, in and through mankind. Religion is what mankind doing for God. The kingdom is what God, the kingdom of God is what God is doing for man. And what we can do for God, that's a good thing. But really, like I say, religion ain't even that sin. Really, they had good intention. Listen, you do the math. Which one is the greatest? What we can do for God or what God can do for us. You choose. You choose which way you're going to go in. You're going to go in from that point of view is what you can do for God, or you're going to go ahead, man, from this point of view, what God want to do for you and in and through you. Not what you can do for God, but what God can do for you. Because he had to do the work. Unless the Lord build a house, the Bible says your labor is in vain. See? And what God is doing, boy? God is doing a great work. What great work, man, is God doing in your life? Let me just say something to you. I gave you a chapter in verse, but let me help you with something right here. My time, you know, I don't have much time left, but let me help you with something right here. You know, the Bible and the message of the Bible, you know, what I just been sharing this in peace with you here just now and on all the other previous broadcasts. But the message of the Bible is about a king. It's about his kingdom. And it's about his royal family, his sons, his offspring, his kids. That's the human race. And in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 of your Bible, that's the message of those two chapters. But it's about a king. It's about the king's territory, his territory. And it's about me and his royal family. In Genesis chapter 1, man, the king spoke. And boy, the king decided something. He said, I want to extend my governing influence, man, from heaven to earth to another territory. So I got to create me another territory. So he created the universe. And in the universe is earth. And, man, he specified the earth because, boy, he going from his family, a son that's going to come from him, he going to, man, bring us down here to earth, to a territory, and give us this territory. And say, hey, you make it in this territory just like it is in the territory that you come from. So you come from him. You come from God. You originated in God. The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven. So if the Father's in heaven and you came from him, then that's where you came from. You came from your father, which art in heaven. So your citizenship, your original citizenship, is in heaven. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, man, hey, our citizenship is in heaven. So boy, God took you from heaven and brought you down here to the earth. And then formed a body for you to live in. Why? So that you could have authority and dominion and power and control over the earth. So that the earth would be your territory, your domain, your kingdom. And what's our assignment? To make it in your kingdom that I give you, just like it is in the kingdom that you come from. So God started that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's the big picture. You know, when you buy a puzzle, you know, say you're in Paris and you buy a puzzle of a castle. And then, you know, on the top of the box, you know, you see the picture of the castle. You see the castle, you know, glory to God. You see the finished product on the top of the box. Before you even open it up, before you even begin, you see the big picture. And then you know something. You know that inside that box is 500 pieces. And once you put all them 500 pieces back together, they're going to look just like that picture that's on that box, on the top of the box. That's how, kind of like, you know, if I could say it that way, that's kind of like to help you understand about the message of the Bible. That's kind of like the same thing God did. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's the picture on the box. That's the finished product. Remember chapter 2, the Bible says on the last day in chapter 2 of Genesis, and God, man, after he created the heaven and the earth, he created mankind and gave us dominion on the earth, the Bible says on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. I mean, it's complete. He has spoken. He decided what he wanted, then he spoke what he wanted. And when he spoke what he wanted come from what he spoke to, everything he said. So on the seventh day after he spoke a word, he rested. That's a done deal. That's it. That's the big picture. That's the finished product. You know, when they make those puzzles, you know how they make those? They start off with the picture first. They start off with the thing, man, complete already, you know. And then they put it on a machine. And then they cut it into the 500 pieces. But before it was cut into those 500 pieces, it was just one original picture. It wasn't broken. It wasn't cut. It wasn't spit out. It wasn't all no pieces. It was just one. But then it got cut up into 500 pieces. And then put into a box. It's the same way, boy, in your Bible. Those first two chapters, man, they listen, man, what happened in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil came on the scene, and you know the story, man, Adam and Eve, them got deceived and disobeyed God, transgressed God's word. And when they transgressed God's word, then, man, that big picture got cut into, man, 500 pieces. All kinds of different belief systems. Instead of one belief system, man, everybody got their own individual pieces, a whole bunch of different pieces of the puzzle. Whole bunch of everything. And from Genesis chapter 3, from Genesis chapter 3 and all those stirs in your Bible, all the stirs in your Bible is just, man, a part of 500 pieces. And God is strategically, down through time and his dealing with mankind is strategically, boy, putting that puzzle, man, back together. He already know the end results. He already know what his life before he got broken. And what he wants you to do is know the same thing, too. That's the gospel that Jesus Christ come preaching about this kingdom of heaven, about that big picture. So that you might have clarity and understanding. So that you might know what you ought to do and how you ought to roll. And you just start becoming. Once you start putting that puzzle together, you know what's happening? That puzzle is becoming, man, that big picture that's on the top of the box, his original place, his original state. I can tell you, in our lives, man, God had completed our lives. Then our lives got cut into, man, a bunch of pieces. And what God is doing, man, by the power of the Holy Ghost, is putting all the pieces of our lives back together. That's what all those stories in the Bible is all about, down to time. From Adam fall to disobedience, and him being put out of that place into the place, man, where his conscience was so seared, man, till God, man, removed mankind off the face of the earth. All these are pieces of the puzzle. But remember, boy, all the pieces of the puzzle is a means to an end. And boy, when you put all them pieces of the puzzle back together, then boy, there you go, man. You see, man, the finished product. You know anything, God? That's why the Bible says, God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, it says, "Fix this in your mind. I'm God, nothing like me. I'm gonna show you how bad I am." He said, "I finished first, and then I start. I declare the end from the beginning, and my counsel gonna stand. I'm gonna show you the destination first. I'm gonna predestine you. I'm gonna show you the big picture first. And then I'm gonna show you, man, the fall of your life, how I got cut into a whole bunch of different pieces. And then I'm gonna show you, man, you know, that all them stories in this whole everything I'm doing through all those pages in your Bible. And I'm putting together, boy, them pieces of the puzzle back together again. Who doing that? God doing this. This is what God doing. If you understand that, then you understand the clarity of the Bible. I'm just planting the seed to let you know so that, man, you can, hopefully, man, that you can understand. Because when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understanding it not, then you can know one thing, where the devil coming and rob this word out of your heart and out of your life. He don't want you to get what I'm saying. He don't ever want you to hear what I'm saying. He don't mind you hearing pre-planned messages, man, you know, of the Bible. You know, most ministers get, you know, when they read the Bible, to get, you know, to prepare for a sermon. And that ain't no bad thing. But, man, let me tell you something, boy. If you just read the Bible that way, sometimes, man, Oh, Lord. I ain't scared no more. Let me tell you something, boy. The most dangerous people in the world, well, I won't say most dangerous people in the world. I don't want to use that terminology. Hey, listen, man. I'm sorry, Holy Ghost. The most dangerous people in the world, man, is Bible reading people without the revelation of the Bible, without the understanding of the Bible, without knowing what the Bible is all about, without knowing, man, you know, hey, what God is doing. Well, because then, man, you read the Bible and you take it out of its context. If you don't know, man, the big picture, if you just had, man, 500 pieces of a puzzle, man, and you didn't know what it was, you didn't have no idea of what it looked like, you didn't have the box, the top of the box with the picture on it, man, then, man, you could just pull any piece out of there, man, and make it be whatever you want it to be. All right, because you don't have the revelation of the puzzle. The top of the box and what's on the top of the box, that picture of it, that's the revelation, not the puzzle. If you don't have that, then, man, you won't know what it is. All you start doing is just trying to put a puzzle together. Well, man, you won't know what you're putting together. You don't have no idea what it is. So when you pull a piece out of that, man, message out them pages of the Bible, man, you know, you bring your own concept to it, and with your own ideas and your own understanding from your concept to it. And in that way, man, you can make it say whatever you want to say. In seminaries, in Bible college, they taught us hermeneutics. And hermeneutics is, man, not taking the scripture out of its context. You know, because that means you got the man see what the pretext and the post-text. You must read the whole passage of the scripture, because if you just take one sentence out of it, one word out of a sentence, man, you can make it say anything you want to say. When you got the concept of the whole sentence, man, you know, then you have more clarity, more understanding. So you can't take the Bible out of context. And that's what happens, man, you know, if you don't know the big picture, if you don't understand the big picture, if you don't understand the message of the Bible, then you just go to the Bible, man, and you get a sermon out of there, the text. And then that text might say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except he be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then you preach a message on being born again. And this is, man, that's not the subject matter of that text. The subject matter is, man, you know, hey, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, hey, Lord, how you getting this kingdom, man? How you getting this country? How you getting this place, man, that you're telling us is available to us and that you're demonstrating and showing us available to us? How you getting that place? How you getting the kingdom? You preaching this kingdom and then telling us it's available to us and demonstrating everything else. No man, you got to come from God, because no man do the thing you're doing except God be with you. And then you telling us that this place is available to us. How you getting this place? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the place. You cannot see or even enter into the kingdom of heaven. So born again is not the subject matter. Born again is a means to an end. Well, man, this is how you get in the place. This is how you get back into the place. You just preach, man, I must be born again, then all people know that I need to be born again. You know, so how you get born again? They're born again, man, to what? The full world. They don't know nothing about that. Born again is the means into the kingdom, back into the place. We made the means the end. The people are born again, but they don't know what they're born again, man, into. But when you know the big picture, then you not only know, man, that you must be born again, but you know that that's not the subject matter. The subject matter, man, how to get in, that's how you get into the kingdom. That's how you come into the kingdom. That's how you get citizenship in the kingdom. Glory to God. Hey, listen, that's the first two chapters in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 1. That's the big picture. Let God show you, man, in the beginning, what the 500 pieces up that's in that box gonna look like once you put it together. Listen, all the way down through your Bible, from the first two chapters in your Bible and everything that's in between there, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 20, is all the pieces of the puzzle. Now look what happened. Look what's going on in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. In Revelation in chapter 22 of your Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's the box. That's the box when you first buy it. When you see the big picture of what's inside the box. All them chapters and verses and pages, man, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 20, is all them 500 pieces that's in the box. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the last two chapters in the Bible, is the finished product. It's the completion of it. Let me say it in a different way. It's when that puzzle is put back together and all the pieces are in place. And there it is, man, you know, what he set out to accomplish. You know what's going on in Genesis chapter 21 and 22, the end? Remember the Bible said he declared the end from the beginning? He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's finished. What he do? What he start? And listen, in chapter 21 and 22, that's the finished product. You know what it say? Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from him. So I'll read that to you now as I close. You know, this the end. This when it's all said and done. This the finality, man. This the finished product. This when God, man, is through and all those pieces of the puzzle are put together And everything that, that he set out to do is being accomplished. Let me read this to you. Revelation chapter 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, for there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Well, that's the end. Hallelujah. That's God's finish. That's all the pieces of the puzzle put together. That's the destination. Hallelujah. That's your destination. What can you say to you, boy? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's all of us. I didn't say you ain't going to go to heaven. I didn't say, man, that ain't where you're going to spend eternity. You die, you go to heaven right now. You know, you're going to the presence of the Lord right now. Our Father, which art in heaven. So if you're heaven from the Bible, be present with the Lord. So you die, you go to heaven. But that ain't where you're going to live forever and ever, man. That man, God, man, putting these pieces of the puzzle back together. And when it's all said and done and all the promises are fulfilled, then, man, listen, boy, all of us who have been resurrected and raptured up, boy, we coming down. We coming back to a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. The whole earth is going to be, man, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's where we're going to dwell. And listen to what it says, boy. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. You know what we say tabernacle means? To cohabitate with, to dwell with, to live with. What? The dwelling place of God. What's the dwelling place of God? That's his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven was tabernacle, the tabernacle of God. What's the tabernacle of God? The, his presence, the kingdom of heaven, that place is with me. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. No more dying, no more crying, eternity, everlasting life in heaven, on earth. That's what the Bible is all about. It begun, listen, my time is up. We're going to continue this next week. But let me just say this here. It begun, boy, in heaven. And God brought it down, extending it to earth. And man, when it ends, I just read it to you in Revelation chapter 21, it's going to end in heaven, on earth. When God begun, he going to complete. What he started, he going to finish. Anyone you and I to come out of this day, so that we can have prayer. And so listen, we hope that this thing is a blessing to your life. And we, if it is, you know, we would like to make and continue to minister to you and share with you the gospel of the kingdom. We only just begun. If you'd like to contact us, it's Ron and Gail of our ministry with Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry. Our telephone number is area code 713-870-3776. Again, the area code is 713-870-3776. If this ministry is being a blessing to your life, we will really, man, bless us for to know them. So, hey, if it is, call us and let us know. Text us and give us a thumb up so that we know that, hey, this ministry is being productive in your life. We love you with the love of the Lord. We pray God's best for your life. Be it unto you according to his will. His kingdom come and his will be done in your life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's our prayer for you, and so shall it be. We love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thanks.
persecuted. Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the message on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing.